from Three River Stadium in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and welcome to the fifth game of the 1971 World Series. We are all tied up in the first night game in World Series history. Last night, Pittsburgh won an exciting ball game by the score of 4-3 to tie the Orioles two games apiece. Today's fifth game, a tiebreaker, brought to you by the Gillette Company. Jim Simpson along with Bill O'Donnell, the temperature at game time, 67 degrees. It is expected to get to 70 this afternoon. Some light rain showers earlier this morning, but only 10% chance of rain this afternoon. Down in the right field bullpen, working for the first time since September the 30th, Nelson Bryles, today's starter for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And down the left field line in the Baltimore bullpen, Dave McNally, who today will make his seventh World Series start. He was the winner in the opener in Baltimore last Saturday, 5-3.
Thank you, Jim Simpson, and good afternoon, everybody, from Three River Stadium here in Pittsburgh. And if you'd ask about a simplification statement as to what has happened in the first four games of the World Series, well, the simple statement is Baltimore strong at home and Pittsburgh strong at home. Back in Baltimore for games one and two, the Pirate run production was cut off, and cut off very strongly by both Dave McNally and by Jim Palmer. And then the two clubs moved to Pittsburgh for games three and four of this World Series, and back come the Pirates with strong pitching, especially in game three by a starter, and more especially in game four by relievers here last night, young Bruce Kieson and veteran bullpen ace Dave Justy. Now, over these last two games here at Pittsburgh, the Oriole bats have really been completely silenced. Only three base hits against Blass in game three. And then last night, against starter Walker, who was knocked out in the very first inning, then followed by much stronger relief Erling by Messrs. Kieson and Justy, Oriole bats were silenced with only four base hits. Now, back in Baltimore in game one, the Orioles had 10 hits and beat the Pirates 5-3. In game two, they had 14 base hits, all of them singles, and they drilled the Pirates by a score of 11-3. But since the second game of this World Series, the Fall Classic now has completely turned around. As a matter of fact, although the series could end naturally in six games, by Baltimore winning two in a row or by Pittsburgh winning two in a row, most everybody thinks that it might go seven games. As far as Baltimore is concerned, it figures, as the Pirates did a day or so ago with Willie Stargell, Baltimore now figures that it must get some power and base hits off the bat of Boog Powell. Powell has only one base hit in 15 trips in this World Series, and maybe his day will be today, just as it was a Willie Stargell night last evening. Going into the ball game last night, Stargell was only 1-for-7 in the first three games. The National League Championship Series plus the World Series. Going in last night, Big Willie was 1-for-21, and he snapped out completely last night, had two base hits, and a key blow was his first hit of the ball game when he drove over the first Pirate run. Pirate pitching the last 2 days, plus the strong Pirate hitting, has tied up this World Series now at two victories apiece. If there has been a surprise, and say the number one surprise, it has been a slight collapse in the Baltimore defense. We say a slight collapse because going into the series, most everybody thought, and although it still exists, it has not existed so far, that Baltimore had the very best defensive club in all of baseball. In the series, however, Baltimore has committed 8 errors in 4 games. The Pirates, on the other hand, not considered anywhere near as good a defensive ball club as Baltimore. The Buccos have committed but one error, and that was in game 2 by the outfielder Al Oliver. Now, from a comeback standpoint, Baltimore is going today with Mr. Clutch, with Mr. Ice Cubes of their pitching staff, namely 21-game winner Dave McNally. He is the pressure-packed pitcher on the Baltimore staff, a young fellow who never beats himself. As a matter of fact, whom a writer in Cumberland, Maryland, by the name of Suter Keg, once nicknamed McNally the Billings Bulldog. And by the Bulldog tag, of course, that's self-explanatory. McNally's hometown is Billings, Montana. A fellow who pitches well with pain, who pitches obviously just as well without pain. And his right-handed Pirate starting counterpart will be Nelson Bryles. Now, Bryles has not made a pitching appearance since the 30th of September, and that was 2 weeks ago today. And you remember that last night, the two starting pitchers, namely Luke Walker and Pat Dobson, they hadn't pitched in quite a while. Walker hadn't been out in 21 days. He did not survive the Baltimore three-run first inning. Dobson had not been out in 2 weeks. He was shaky all through the ball game, and he came out in the sixth inning. So the question today around Nelson Bryles is the same question that existed here last night. Is this lack of work? Will this lack of work hurt Bryles this afternoon against Baltimore? Talking, as we did a couple of moments ago, about people and maybe even experts thinking about a seven-game World Series. The last time we had a seven-game World Series was back in 1968. That's when the Tigers beat the Cardinals after St. Louis had gone ahead in that 68 World Series, 3-1. The Tigers then came back, especially behind Mickey Lolich, and they won the last three, and they won that 68 seven-game World Series, 4-3. The year before, the Cardinals again were involved in a seven-game series. That one they won, defeating the Red Sox 4-3. Now, the Orioles have been in all other series before and since, the ones involving the Tigers, the Cardinals, and the Red Sox. But Baltimore has never played in either a six or a seven-game World Series. In 1966, Baltimore swept the favored Dodgers 4-3. In 1969, they lost to the Mets 4-1. A year ago, they ran right by Cincinnati in a five-game series and beat the Reds 4-1. So right now, entering game five, we must have at least game six or game seven. Baltimore is in its longest World Series. Pittsburgh, the last time it was in a Fall Classic, played in a seven-game World Series, and on record, perhaps one of the most dramatic in all of World Series history. That was the 1960 Classic against the great Yankee Ball Club, won by the Pirates. They won it 4-3. They won that seven-game series here in Pittsburgh on the very dramatic bottom of the ninth inning home run by Bill Mazeroski, one of the few fellows who is still on the Pittsburgh Ball Club here in 1971. Now, so much about the background to our series games to date, a little information about our ball game today, and a background about some series games of recent years. Now, the lineups. The visiting Baltimore Orioles have Don Buford in the leadoff spot. Buford to play in left field. Batting second and playing in center field will be Paul Blair. Baltimore first baseman Boog Powell bats next. Powell batting number three. In right field, and to date he has carried the strongest Baltimore bat, is veteran National Leaguer and American Leaguer Frank Robinson. Robinson is 7-14 in this series, including two home runs, 8 home runs overall in World Series competition. Frank Robinson bats fourth, and he will be the right fielder. With Pittsburgh starting a right-hander, 28-year-old Nelson Bryles, Baltimore will catch its left-handed swinger, Elrod Hendricks, and Hendricks bats number five. Then to Mr. Clutch in the hitting attack, Brooks Robinson at third base. Batting seventh and playing at second base will be Dave Johnson. The Orioles shortstop, Mark Belanger, bats eighth, and Baltimore's Dave McNally does the pitching, and he bats ninth. Now, before we bring you the Pirate order, here, ladies and gentlemen, is our national anthem. Truly, ladies and gentlemen, it is always a dramatic moment, especially before a World Series game, to hear the playing and the singing of a national anthem. But we've had something added to a dramatic moment, a kind of a sentimental moment, as the national anthem was just sung beautifully by Jill Corey, the widow of the former Pirate third baseman Don Hoke, who was with that 1960 championship Pittsburgh Ball Club. We'll continue with our pregame highlights right after this message.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash. Coming through for Chrysler Plymouth. Here's a song that tells you something about a little car for you. Plymouth Cricket, coming through. If you're looking for a little car that's a lot of fun and a little bigger than many other little cars, look at the 1972 Plymouth Cricket. You want a car? car that's built to last, and it's still good looking too. Chrysler Plymouth knows you want your car that way. From the inside to the outside, it's a car that's here to stay. That's the kind of car that's coming through today. Chrysler Plymouth, coming through.
Together with Jim Simpson, Bill O'Donnell, back with you again at Pittsburgh's Three Rivers Stadium. We gave you the Baltimore lineup card a couple of moments ago before the singing of the national anthem. And now for the Pirate attack this afternoon in Game 5. The leadoff man will be Pirates second baseman Dave Cash. He'll be followed by Gene Kleins. Kleins to play in center field. Batting third and in right field will be the strong bat of Roberto Clemente. And we should not just simply say just strong bat. We should also say strong-armed Roberto Clemente in right field. Batting fourth and playing in left field will be Willie Stargell. Stargell in left field. Playing at first base and batting in the number five spot will be Bob Robertson. Robertson at first base. The Pirate catcher, as he has been in every game thus far of this World Series, will be Manny Sanguin. Sanguin back of the plate. The third baseman for the Pirates will be Jose Pagan. Pagan at third base, and he bats seventh. The shortstop will be Jackie Hernandez. Hernandez at short, batting ninth, and doing the Pirate pitching will be Nelson Bryles. Bryles, he's kind of built on the chunky side, 5 feet 11, 200 pounds. Bryles is 28 years old. During the 1971 season, he made 14 starts for Danny Murtaugh, had four complete outings in those 14 starts, including two shutouts, winning eight, losing four. And here are the Pirates now, breaking out of their first base dugout to take the field. The umpires today, and we have six of them. Jim Odom will be back of the plate. John Kibler will be at first base. The umpire at second will be Nestor Shylock. Umping at third will be Ed Sudol. And the foul line umpires, John Rice, down the left field side, and on the opposite corner down the right field foul line is Ed Vargo. Bryles has been warming with Manny Sanguin. And let's right now pause 10 seconds for station identification.
This is WWJ Radio 1 in Detroit, news and information all day.
WWJ Radio 1, Radio 1.
His tune-up tosses to Sanguin. Let's set the Pirate defense for you. They've got Jose Pagan stationed at third. They've got Jackie Hernandez anchored at short. They're playing young sensation Dave Cash at second base and long ball walloping Bob Robertson at first base. The Pirate outfield for Game 5 this afternoon in Bucktown will be Big Willie Stargell in left, Gene Kleins in center, and Roberto Clemente in right field. Sanguin does the catching, and Bryles, the right-hander, does the pitching. Now, Bryles, of course, has been in World Series competition before. That's when he was over in the National League with the St. Louis Cardinals, and Jim will tell you more about that. Don Buford is the leadoff man. And now, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls, with pleasure, here is NBC's Jim Simpson.
Thank you, Bill O'Donnell. Don Buford, switch hitter, stepping in left-handed against the right-hander Bryles, who is making his fifth World Series start. He has won one and lost one, has excellent control normally, but remember what happened last night with Luke Walker and Pat Dobson, but not pitched in 3 weeks. Bryles has not pitched since September the 30th, and only three innings in that game against the Phillies, in which he pulled a muscle in his leg. Bryles ready with the first pitch of the fifth game of the World Series. Swing foul back by Don Buford. All Blair is on deck. Walker did not last out the first inning last night, and Dobson battled for six innings, had a lot of stuff, but made some bad pitches, couldn't get the ball over. And control is Bryles' strong suit. Less than two walks per nine innings. Right-hander back, ready and throws high and away from Buford. It's one ball, one strike. Pagan playing in on the artificial turf from third base. Buford, the best leadoff batter in the history of the Baltimore Orioles, reaching base more than 41% of the time, led the American League this past year in runs scored with 98. Bryles ready again. Ball is hit high in the air and back at second base. Hernandez and Cash are there. Hernandez, the shortstop, says he's got it. And right in back at second base, takes it for the first out. That'll bring up Paul Blair, getting a start today on the strength of his fine hitting. Hitting at 600, 3 for 5, and has scored a couple of runs. Premier center fielder in the American League. Bryles had 2 shutouts during the month of September, plus 3 complete games. A very strong month after a very shaky start. Bryles throws to Blair, who fouls it out of play off to the right. 1 strike. Temperature, game time, 67 degrees. The sun is very bright, off to a right, coming in over the right field roof. Right on the eyes of the right-handed batters. 1 strike pitch to Blair. Swings and misses on a breaking pitch. 2 strikes. Bryles, primarily a breaking ball pitcher. Has the palm ball. Has the curve. Ready with a 2-strike pitch. Comes back, another breaking pitch, and Blair goes down swinging. Check that. As Blair foul tipped the ball, Sanguin could not hold on to it, so Paul has another life with 2 strikes. Now he's called out on strikes. Given a life, Paul Blair looks at a 3rd called strike. Those who follow the Orioles as Boo Powell steps in tell us that on several occasions throughout the year, the Orioles have looked as they have in these 2 games here in Pittsburgh. And that is not aggressive with the bat, taking too many pitches. 2 out now, top of the first. There's no score. Boog Powell with 1 hit and 15 tries. Had a sacrifice fly last night, a boomer about 400 feet away. Left-handed batter, pitch, off-speed pitch, high and away from Boog Powell. And it's 1-1. Buford led off by popping to the shortstop. Blair looked at a 3rd called strike. 1-0, no strike. They are playing Powell to pull, of course. Hernandez on the first base side of second and well back on the turf. Ground ball right back to Bryles. He has the easy throw to first base, and there's the 1-2-3 inning. Only in 1 of these 5 games has the Orioles failed to go down in 1-2-3 order. That was last night, and they lost the ball game 4-3. A run, hits or errors, none left. In the middle of the first, Baltimore nothing, and Pittsburgh coming to bat.
Dave McNally getting ready for his 2nd World Series start of 1971. And he'll face the Pirates, Dave Cash, Gene Kleins, and Roberto Clemente. McNally back defensively by Brooks Robinson at 3rd. Mark Belanger short. Dave Johnson 2nd. Boog Powell 1st. Elrod Hendricks is catcher. McNally's Oriole outfield. Don Buford in left. Paul Blair in center. And Frank Robinson in right. Cash starts it off for the Pirates. And here's Jim Simpson again.
All right, Bill O'Donnell, Dave Cash hitting at 176, 3 for 17, but Dave has hit the ball very hard, most of the time right at somebody. Right-handed swinger. Very fast. McNally throws outside. 1-1. You'll recall McNally had that bad problem in the 1st game, wildness. Walked a man, there was a wild pitch and a couple of errors and gave up 3 runs, all of which were unearned. Then he settled down and pitched the 3-hitter. Back up high again. It is quickly 2-0 to Dave Cash. Pittsburgh and Pirate fans have come alive since coming back home, especially after last night's thriller to even the series at 2 apiece. McNally, the left-hander, the right-hander, Cash, and misses the breaking pitch on the outside. It's 3-0 to Dave Cash. Gene Kleins, the speedy center fielder, is on deck. McNally has lost only 1 game since May the 28th. Back with a fastball down the middle. 3 balls, 1 strike, and Cash was taking all the way. He lost 9-4 at Detroit on September the 17th. And that's the only game, we'll repeat, that he has lost since May the 28th. 3-1 pitch. Left-hander throws. It's down low, and Cash is on with a walk. Up steps Gene Kleins, who played in that 1st game, 0-for-4, faced McNally. Now, Kleins at bat has exceptional speed. Cash at first base has excellent speed. Very difficult to double, and maybe with Kleins at bat, when that next up, they'll have something going. No score. We're in the last of the first. Pirates, Dave Cash, leadoff man, is on base. Bouncing ball back to McNally, to Belanger at second base, goes on to first base, and the safe at first base. Kleins beats it out after hitting into the fourth play. You cannot afford to take any time at all, and the Orioles did not, but still Kleins, who runs from the right side of the plate, still got the first base in time to beat the throw. And here comes Roberto Clemente. Clemente has been in 11 World Series games, 7 in 1960, 4 so far in 1971, has hit safely in every one of them. Hitting at 471 for this series, one RBI, he is 8 for 17. And they play him around to the right, as always. Land a hit to the opposite field. There goes the runner, swing, the ball is fouled. Down toward the third base coaching box, picked up by one of the ushers. But Kleins was off and running. The record for most consecutive World Series games in which a player has hit, 17, held by the former Yankee Hank Bauer back in the mid-50s. Strike one, the count to Clemente. Line's not going this time. Clemente swings at a low outside pitch at strike two. Again, we'll point out something that Bill and I have been pointing out throughout the series. Clemente is an excellent two-strike hitter. Many times we'll take a couple of pitches for strikes and then go to work on the pitcher. Last night, he struck out in the first inning at a curveball. Run by the starter, Dobson. Ball is hit to the opposite field, right field. Frank Robinson goes back on the warning track. It's near the wall and has it as he bangs into the wall. And Kleins comes back to first. Clemente with that great opposite field power drives Frank Robinson to the wall. And here is the Major League home run hitter, Willie Stargell. 48 to lead the majors. No score last to the first. Kleins on at first base with two outs. McNally pitching out of the stretch, throws low and away to Stargell. One ball. I noticed early in the World Series and in the National League Championships, they were working Stargell in with the fastball. The last couple of games, and what he's been hitting in the last couple of games, the Oilers have, or I should say the Orioles, have been working him to the outside of the plate. McNally checks over at first base, and Kleins is back in plenty of time. One ball, no strikes. Bob Robertson on deck. Fouled off to the left and back at third and then the upper deck. One and one. Stargell hitting at 250 for the series. Scored a couple of runs, one RBI, 3 for 12. But Willie has walked six times. And being the free swinger he is, he's also struck out five times. There goes the runner, swing and a miss, the throw down to second base, in plenty of time with a stolen base is gone. The Pirates have been showing speed since coming home. They've been stealing. Hernandez, Sanguian, and now Kleins. One ball, two strikes, as Stargell was swinging on the pitch, protecting the runner Kleins. Just does miss outside. Two balls, two strikes. They play Stargell around to the right, but Elrod Hendricks actually brought them in a few paces, meaning the outfielders. Balls have a tendency, if they drop in, to perhaps bounce over the outfielder's head here. Happened a couple of times last night. Ground ball towards shortstop. Belanger there on the second out. has a little trouble digging it out, but throws on and gets Scargill in plenty of time. Lines was already around third base on his way home. No runs, no hits, no errors, and one man left at the end of one. Baltimore nothing, Pittsburgh nothing.
Hi.
And we've got a whole new World Series, as a matter of fact. Two victories for Baltimore, two victories for Pittsburgh. As in Game 5, we go to the top of the second inning, and Pirate right-hander Nelson Bryles will be challenged by Frank Robinson, Elrod Hendricks, and Brooks Robinson. Let's bring back Jim Simpson.
Frank Robinson, hitting at 500, did not hit last night, was hit by a pitch and also walked intentionally. 7 for 14, scored 4 runs, and has 2 home runs. Nothing, nothing, Nelson Bryles for his first outing since September the 30th. Leg apparently not bothering him. Throws, and the breaking pitch is down low. Ball one. Bill and I would like to say hello to all of you listening through American Forces Radio in Asia, in Europe, wherever you may be. And as I used to say, we understand we're being heard by all the ships at sea. Bryles is back, ground ball toward the gun at third base, and back of the bag he takes and fires on, but umpire Ed Sudall over third base says that ball is foul. One ball, one strike. Talking to Ed Vargo, who was down the right field line today after that dispute last night of Roberto Clemente's home run was a fair foul. The Pirate bullpen said it was foul. Vargo said, when I've got a left-hander up there, perhaps a right-hander, I'm going to walk up the line a little bit so I'll have a better look at that line. There is a little fence in front of the higher fence. The umpires are suggesting they should put up a little piece of tin or something along the foul pole so that the umpires would have a better chance to tell. Robinson swings and misses, but a good fastball from Bryles. One ball, two strikes. But after all of the argument we had last night on the disputed home run by Clemente, the Pirate bullpen backed up the left field umpire today, John Rice, who was working the right field line last night, and said, yes, it was foul. One ball, two strikes, inside pitch, breaking pitch, pulled foul down the third base line. Still 1-2 to Frank Robinson, leadoff batter in the top of the second. There's no score. Tomorrow an off day, and then Saturday we will be back in Baltimore. 12:45 Eastern Time, sixth game of the World Series. Who's going to be on top? 3-2. Baltimore or Pittsburgh? Bryles ready, 1-2, breaking pitch, hit to the opposite field. May drop down there, but Robinson is back in plenty of time now in foul territory and takes it for the first out of the second. Ball started off and then just kind of died behind first base down the line in foul territory. And Bob Robertson has plenty of time to catch up to it. Ellie Hendricks. When Luke Walker started last night, Andy Etchebarren came on and Hendricks did not play. He had played in the first three games. Hitting a 300, 3 for 10, has an RBI. Bryles, who played 6 years with the Cardinals, still lives in St. Louis, Missouri. Born out in Doris, California. Speaks several languages. Like to be a nightclub entertainer. Hendricks hits one straightaway center field. Klein starts in, now must go back and off to his right, and about 350 feet away, takes it for the second out. Well, for a man that hasn't pitched in 2 weeks and had problems with his thigh muscle, Ellie Bryles of the Pirates has come on and has never really had anything more than a loud foul off of him. Buford popped out in the first. Blair struck out looking. Foul bounced back to Bryles. Robinson fouled out to Bob Robertson. Now Hendricks flies to rather shallow center field. Here's Brooks Robinson, and that's ball one. One ball, no strikes. Brooks hitting at 385, also did not get a hit last night. Fouls this one off to the right. He and Frank Robinson had hit in every game until last night. They did not get a hit in the first inning against Luke Walker, the starter, and Bruce Keeson and Dave Justy kept them down the rest of the way. Brooks is 5 for 13, 4 RBIs, and has scored 2 runs. One ball, one strike, and the pitch is up high to Brooks. It's 2-1. They play Robinson slightly around to the left and rather deep. And there's a ball drilled into center field. On comes Klein's, and he'll have to take it on the first hop, and there's the first base hit. Robinson singles to center, and here is Dave Johnson, the second baseman. 3 for 15, hitting at 200, has a couple of RBIs. And they respect the power, Davey, who had a great year with a personal high of 18 home runs, as they go deep for him and again swung a little to the left. Lyles ready. Pitch is on the inside corner to Letters. Strike one. On deck is Mark Belanger in this nothing-nothing game in the top of the second. And now Sam Guillen signals Clines to come even more toward left field from his position in center. Riles working from the stretch. Throws a breaking pitch. Popped up high. Short left center field. Hernandez goes out. Clines comes in. Hernandez gets out of the way, and Clines takes it for the third out. A run, one hit, no errors, and Brooks Robinson left at first base. We go to the last of the second in this scoreless ballgame.
Hello, Donald, and Jim Simpson, your host for Game 5 of the World Series, as the Pirates now come on against Baltimore left-hander Dave McNally. And they'll first produce Bob Robertson. Okay, Jim.
Bob Robertson gets a big hand. He's the fellow that, when they came back to Pittsburgh on Tuesday, missed a bunt sign and instead swung away and produced a three-run home run that put the game out of reach for the Orioles, as Steve Blass won that third game, 5-1. McNally swings, long drive center field. Blair's on his way back, near the wall. And it goes over, 1-0. Chance to say that he missed a bunt sign on Tuesday to hit a three-run home run. This time, with nobody on, Robertson was up there to do what he does best. And with that uppercut swing of his, he drove the ball more than 410 feet away. Blair went straightaway center right to the wall, and it dropped over. And now, as is the custom here in Pittsburgh, there's some paper on the field out near the 385 sign in left center field, and so time is called, and Don Buford will be called on to do a little house cleaning. Big, long strings or streamer of white paper. Manny Sanguin hitting at 294, the speedy catcher, who was guilty last night of a couple of base-running errors. Here's the batter. Sanguin last night rounded second base on a bouncer back to Dobson, the pitcher, who ran over, forced him back to second, tossed to Belanger to nip him off at second base, and then on the ball dropped by Blair out in right center field. Robertson was holding at third, but Sanguin was all the way around second, and he was a dead duck. Sanguin takes up high for McNally. Ball one. 1-0, the Pirates. They break on top in an effort to go back to Baltimore, leading 3-2. McNally, the left-hander, throws way up high. Hendricks has to grab for it, and now immediately races to the mound to talk to Dave McNally. You heard Bill O'Donnell say, and all of the Oriole rooters say, if you are going to beat Mr. McNally in a game such as this, you've got to go get him. He's not going to beat himself. So Bob Robertson went after him and produced a 410-foot home run. One run, one hit, no errors for the Pirates. The Orioles have no runs on Brooks Robinson's single and no errors. 2-0 the count. Base hit up the middle. Van Gien stops at first base. Now McNally was wild high, brought the ball down in the strike zone, and Sanguin drilled off the middle. Still nobody out, and here's Jose Pagan. Pagan, 2-for-8, has an RBI. He drove in the winning run, Manny Sanguin, in the Tuesday afternoon ballgame. Sanguin stretched what looked like a single into a double, and Pagan followed up with a base hit to left field that scored Sanguin to make it 2-0. Pirates won that game 5-1. Check at first base, where they respect the great speed of this catcher, Sanguin. He's back. Nally throws, swing and a miss by Pagan. One strike. Breaking pitch down low. Jose steps out and looks down to Frank Osiak, the coach at third. Don Leppert is coaching at first. pitch out, but Sanguian is not going. One ball, one strike. Pagan looks down to Osiak again. Leppert, the coach at first base, is the man involved most vociferously with John Rice last night, arguing that Clemente's ball was fair, not foul. One ball, one strike. Sanguian not going. Ball is hit to the opposite field. Down the right field line. Back to his pal. Over comes Johnson. And Powell sticks out of line and cannot get it in foul territory. One ball, two strikes. In fairness to both Powell and Johnson and the right fielder, Frank Robinson, the ball was well down the right field line and well off the foul line. And to turn and run that distance and make an over-the-shoulder catch, well, it would have been a fine play. But the Orioles don't come up with the play, and Pagan remains alive, 1-2. Now he throws too low. It's two balls, two strikes. Last of the second, 1-0. Pirates on Bob Robertson's leadoff home run. Pagan, right-handed batter with San Francisco in 1962, had a fabulous series for the Giants. There's another check at first base. Hitting well over 350. That was in that famous rained-out series. McNally ready, throws inside on the fifths and foul back toward the Oriole dugout. Still 2-2. I recall they had a game rained out in New York and then three more out in San Francisco, and it took them about 13 days to play that 1962 World Series. McNally looks over. Sanguian throws. It is too low. Three balls, two strikes. In answer to perhaps a question in your mind, no, sir. The Oriole bullpen is not busy. Advantage to Pagan as he throws and strikes him out. Sanguian's on his way to second base. A throw down there. He's in under the throw. And Johnson thought he was out. But Hester Garlock says that Sanguian is in with a stolen base as Pagan strikes out. Sanguian has stolen his second base of this series. And this is the second stolen base of this game. I stole two last night, but we're just in the last of the second. Here is Jackie Hernandez, shortstop, right-handed hitter, hitting at 250 for the series. One RBI, has scored a couple of runs. Pirates lead it 1-0. Bryles on deck. Hernandez does not have great power. They play him shallow, but a little around to the left, and there's a strike at the knee. The breaking pitch from Dave McNally. Well, this is the first time since 1955 that a team has used five different starters in five games. And that is what the Pirates have done. Dodgers in 1955 against the Yankees used six different starters in six games. Now he throws a breaking pitch. A curveball drops over the outside of the plate. Good-looking pitch. It's strike two. Van Gien down at second base. Now starts to walk off as McNally looks in for his sign as he's ahead of Hernandez, 0-2. Throws, and Hernandez swings at a high pitch, strikes out. McNally settles down after Robertson tagged him for the home run in Sanguian for the single, striking out Pagan and Hernandez, and here's Nelson Bryles. And Bryles is a pretty good hitting pitcher, 144 lifetime. McNally cannot afford to relax with him with Sanguian down at second base. They do not play Bryles deep. Throws a breaking pitch, and Nelly swings and misses strike one. Sun is shining brightly at Three River Stadium in Pittsburgh, where the temperature is nearly 70 degrees. Another breaking pitch and strike two swinging. Last night,
More people watched a Pittsburgh baseball game than ever before in history here in Pittsburgh, 51,378. There are not that many here this afternoon. There are some empty seats, not many, but some. Two strikes to Browns, back, there's a drive, foul off to the right, makes the seats on the first baseline. Bob Robertson's home run that led off this inning was a tremendous shot to straightaway center field, 410 feet away. His home run in the first game played here in Pittsburgh was to the opposite field, the right. Two-strike pitch again, a breaking pitch that misses this time. One ball, two strikes to Bryles. McNally struck out 9 in Saturday's World Series opener. That was his high for the year. Not normally a strikeout pitcher. High out of the strike zone, and Ellie Hendricks points at Bryles, looking down to see whether or not any umpire says he did not check his swing. Nobody backs up Hendricks, and so it's 2 balls, 2 strikes. In the last of the second, Pirates 1 run on 2 hits, one of them Robertson's home run, no errors. Orioles no runs, 1 hit, and no errors. The only Oriole hit, a single in the top of this inning by Brooks Robinson. McNally ready and throws, and there's a drive out to the center field. One hop. He's going to play. He's going to throw home. And the ball is off-market, and he scores. Bryles drives in the run. McNally had pitcher Nellie Bryles 0-2, then it went to 2-2 and let him get away from him. And Sanguin scores. Dave Cash. Danny Murtaugh, as on Saturday the Orioles will start Jim Palmer, says he will either start Steve Blass or Bob Johnson. Those 7 games, the 7th game pitcher will be Steve Blass or Bob Johnson. Not committing himself. 2 out, Cash steps in there, takes a breaking pitch right over. Strike one. Robertson led off with a home run. Sanguin single, stole second as Pagan struck out. Hernandez struck out. Bryles was down 0-2, worked the count to 2-2, and drilled a single to center field, scoring Sanguin. And there's that Pirate speed again as Sanguin stole second, was in scoring position. Back again, fastball. Robinson backing onto the third base, goes to second, where Johnson steps on second base for the force out. But the Pirates pick up 2 runs. On 3 base hits, there were no errors and 1 man left. At the end of 2, the Pirates 2 and Baltimore nothing.
WWJ Detroit, the Detroit News.
From sunny Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Jim Simpson along with Bill O'Donnell as we go to the top of the third. The Pirates lead the Orioles 2-0 in this 5th game of the World Series, which is all tied at 2 games apiece. Mark Belanger hitting a 214 for the series. Right-handed batter, well back in the box. Close stance facing Nellie Bryles, who's given up 1 base hit. Breaking pitch. On a change, hits the outside corner, strike one. McNally has given up 3 hits now, and that's as many as the Pirates got in the entire 1st game against Dave. Another breaking pitch, and Belanger fouls it back at home plate, drops in the seats for strike two. And if you want to go back looking at history, just only as far back as last Saturday, in the 2nd inning in which the Pirates got 2 runs here, they got 3 runs against McNally in the 2nd inning down in Baltimore on Saturday and never scored again. Baltimore won it. 0-2, breaking pitch, blown away. Ball one. Bryles throws, ball is out to right field. Clementi is there in plenty of time, taps the glove twice and takes it for the first out of the Baltimore third. Lazy fly ball down the right field line. Clemente over in plenty of time. And here comes Dave McNally. 0-for-3 in the series opener. Pretty good hitting pitcher. 162, hit a couple of home runs this year. And had 14 sacrifice bunts this year. Can handle a bat. Bryles ready. And throws a breaking pitch, strike one. Bryles has allowed 1 man
Of the seven he has faced, make that of the eight he has faced, to reach base. Brooks Robinson's two-out single in the second. Another breaking pitch. McCauley swings and misses. 0-2. They play the Baltimore pitcher straight away. Fastball low and away, and it's one ball, two strikes to McNally. McNally, you'll recall, had Bryles 0-2, battled him back to a 2-2 count, and then drilled a single to center to drive in the second run of the game. Pirates lead it by two. Bryles ready now. At shortstop, the lead off the game. Buford has plate umpire Jim Odom checked the ball, and Odom throws a new ball out to Bryles and throws the one that Buford wanted checked out of the game. Pirates have two runs on three hits, no errors. Orioles, no runs, one hit, no errors. Top of the third. Pagan again comes in on the turf. Front of third base. Bryles ready, throws a change that stays outside and high. Ball one to Buford. Don has good power, hit a home run, recall. In the World Series, takes a big cut at this fastball and misses. One ball, one strike. Bryles ready. Throws, a change that misses outside. Buford was making signs as though he were going to bunt, but never did offer it the ball. 2-1. Blair waits on deck. Klaus throws, backs him out of there. It's 3-1. Now the Pittsburgh fans, they're leading 2-0 over the Orioles. I'm a little concerned as Wiles goes to a 3-1 count. First time he has gone this high and has him swinging on the next pitch. It's 3-2. Wiles, a control pitcher, averaging less than two walks a ball game. Had great control in the month of September when he threw both of his shutouts and three of his complete games. The last 16 games, 65 and a third innings, Bryles' earned run record was 1.66. 3-2 pitch, it's hit off the fist, down to Pagan. Pagan throws on the first base and a three out. The run, hits the errors, and again, the Orioles go down in order. We go to the last of the third, and the Pirates lead Baltimore 2-0.
Bill O'Donnell and Jim Simpson hosting you from Pittsburgh this afternoon. The Pirates, who had clutch relief pitching last night from Bruce Kaysen and Dave Justy, have had outstanding starting work today done by Nelson Bryles. Now here's Jim Simpson and the bottom of the third.
Ryan's attempts a bunt. It is fouled at the plate. Gene showed us his speed back in the first inning. After Cash walked, Kleins hit a ball back to McNally. McNally whirled it through Belanger at second to force Cash, but the throwback to first could not get Kleins, and Gene later stole second base. Has great speed. One strike. Robinson playing back of the bag at third base. Kleins attempted the bunt, now takes a breaking pitch outside. One ball, one strike. Pirates lead it 2-0 on the home run by Robertson, a single by Sanguine, who later stole second and came home on Bryles' single. All of that happened in the second inning. McNally throws a fastball outside. Two balls, one strike to Kleins. Well, they call Dave McNally Dave McLucky many times or sometimes. He's been taken out of the game only to have his teammates score runs while he's been in the clubhouse to win for him. Another high fastball. It's 3-1. And after giving the Pirates three runs in the first game of this World Series and then holding on as Baltimore came back to win 5-3, they called him Dave McClucky. 3-1. Lyons looked down to Osiak at third base to see what the coach says he must do and is swinging on the pitch, breaking pitch that he misses. It's three balls, two strikes. On deck is Roberto Clemente. Another pitch up high, and a dangerous climb goes down with a second walk given up by McNally. And if you're going to walk anybody, Cash, whom he walked back in the first inning, and Kleins in this inning are not the men to walk,
as they both have great speed. Earl Weaver has charged to the mound and is talking things over with McNally. Weaver called the Baltimore Orioles the best team in the history of Major League Baseball. And they certainly looked like it when they took a commanding 2-0 lead, or what appeared to be a commanding 2-0 lead, down in Baltimore. But up here, the Pirates have had them on the ropes. A great pitching performance by Steve Blass on Tuesday, Bruce Keeson last night, and Bryles has them thus far this afternoon 2-0. Here's the brother Clemente. Has hit in every World Series game he's ever appeared in, has not hit yet, but back in the first inning drove Frank Robinson deep to the wall with his line drive and right. Line's always a danger to go, and it looks as though the Baltimore bullpen is going to get busy. McNally taking his time, looking in at the right-handed Clemente. Now checks over at first base. Dave Leonard, who recently walked down to the bullpen, has now begun to throw in the bullpen. Pirates are not considered a team that gets a lot of walks. Orioles are considered a team that does not walk many people. Another check over at first base. And yet in this World Series thus far, the Pirates have walked 22 times against the American League's fine control staff of the Baltimore Orioles. Willie Stargell has walked 6 of those 22 times. Breaking pitch, strike 1 to Clemente. Taking all away. Pirates, 2 runs, 3 hits, no errors. Orioles, no runs, 1 hit and no errors. And as last night, so again this afternoon, the Pirates have been knocking at the door in every single inning. McNally back and throwing again. Breaking pitch stays inside and high. 1-1 to Clemente. Jim Palmer on Saturday in the 6th game against either Bob Johnson or Steve Blass. The question is, who goes to Baltimore for that 6th game with a 3-2 lead? Right now, the Pirates are broken on top. Another check, this time a lazy throw over to Boog Powell at first base. A stolen base has already cost them a run in the 2nd inning. Van Gien stole 2nd and came home at ahead of the Nelson Bryle single. McNally back, throws, it's fouled back, straight back toward us, and hits just below us. 1-2. Leonard continues to throw. There goes the runner. There's a bounding ball to Belanger at second base. He's got to go to first, throws on to first, and gets the charging Clemente. Lines had a great jump on the ball. And Clemente, who set up a home run by Bob Robertson by charging, when he hit the ball right back to the mound and forced Cuellar into a throwing error on Tuesday afternoon, ran out that ball, a simple bouncer to the shortstop Belanger by second base. Here's Stargell, who bounced to Belanger to end the first. Our fans keep expecting this big fellow to put one out of here. He has not in the championship series or the World Series. Fouls this one to the screen, strike 1. Well, a good hitter throughout the season also. Aside from those 125 RBIs, those 48 home runs, he hit 295. Pirates 2, Orioles nothing. Clines at 2nd. 1 out, last of the 3rd. McNally throws, breaking pitch that stays inside. Then he turned his shoulder away from it. It's 1-1. Bob Robertson with that 410-foot home run to lead off the 2nd. He is on deck. McNally right back, breaking pitch, hit out to left field, not too deep. Buford backs up and has it, and now Klein's bluffs going to third base. Throw comes into the cutoff man, Belanger, and Klein drops back. And here's Bob Robertson. Robertson with that famous uppercut swing that we've been talking about throughout the World Series and the championships. Uppercut one to dead center field for a leadoff home run in the 2nd. He had 4 home runs, 3 in succession in the National League Championships against the Giants. That's over a space of 2 games. Three home runs and a double in the Sunday game out in San Francisco, and then on Tuesday, led off with a home run. Just as he did here today. Lines has a tremendous lead at second base. Now Johnson tries to bluff him back a step or two. McNally ready to throw and throws up high to Bob Robertson. Ball one. Leonard still throwing, despite the fact that two out and Klein's down at second. McNally looks back, pickoff play, but back quickly is Klein's, and McNally never released the ball. Klein's has had that big lead, but that time the lead wasn't as big. About six steps away. Now he moves up toward third, another half step. McNally ready to throw. There's a ground ball to Brooks Robinson. Can't pick it up. Now picks it up. Now throws on the first. Off the line. Everybody's safe. Error to the mighty Brooks Robinson. Second of the series. Bill pointed out, if there is a surprise to the series, it has been not the collapse, but the fallibility of the Oriole defense. It has not held up. Here is Sanghian, who singled and stole second and scored ahead of the Bryles single back in the second inning. Pirates 2, Baltimore nothing. And the Pirates have been something else again since coming back to Three River Stadium. McNally throws a breaking pitch that drops over, strike one. Only in the second inning last night were the Pirates not on base. They've gone three innings here and have had a threat going every single inning and lead 2-0. McNally throws fastball driven down the left field line into the disturbing foul way up in the seats in the second deck. Game winners. McNally got the job done Saturday. Sunday's game was rained out. Palmer got the job done Monday. But Cuellar and Dobson have failed, and McNally is on the ropes. Baltimore has now committed 9 series errors. Pittsburgh only one. 2 strikes to count. Outside. Sanghian, 1-2. During the season, Baltimore committed 112 errors. Pittsburgh 133. Baltimore has the dubious distinction of leading 9 errors to 1 in the 1971 World Series. McNally looking over at Robertson at first base. He should have been out of this. The ball gets by Hendricks, and here comes the run scoring. Ball is intercepted by 3-0. Of a wild pitch back in the first game that got him in a lot of trouble, and this is another wild pitch that scores a run. Bob Robertson goes down to second, and with the score 3-0, now Sanghian with a base hit has a chance to drive in a fourth run. Pirate fans probably now becoming aware they've got a chance to take the whole series. They were the underdogs and have been throughout the series. The ball's 2 strikes, and there is a third called strike to Sanghian, caught looking, and now he walks after umpire Jim Odom. But without benefit of a hit, a walk, and an error in a wild pitch. The Pirates score 1 run, no hits, 1 error, and 1 man left. We've gone 3 full innings, and the Pirates lead the Orioles 3-0.
Friends, you know,
Three River Stadium in Pittsburgh, where the fans are exceedingly happy with that 3-0 lead. Paul Blair leads it off in the fourth inning against Nellie Bryles, who's allowed one man to reach base, Brooks Robinson in the second with a 2-out single. Other than that, Bryles has been perfect, and no one has hit the ball hard off him except Brooks Robinson. Blair looked at a third call strike back in the first inning. Bryles ready to work, throws him a breaking pitch, hit out to right field. Roberto Clemente drops over to his left, taps his glove, and takes it. On one pitch, Bryles gets Paul Blair. Here is Boog Powell. What a series poor Boog is having. With that injured right hand, he is 1-for-16. Had a tremendous drive to deep center last night. That scored a run, but it was caught, a sacrifice fly. We'll recall again that after three innings down in Baltimore last Saturday, for you Baltimore fans, the Pirates were leading McNally 3-0. There's a drive that Cash tried to beat. Pitches by Nelson Bryles in the Baltimore fourth, and two birds are out. Here's Frank Robinson. Foul out to Bob Robertson down the first baseline to lead off the second. It was Robertson who got a home run to make it 3-1 and turn the ball game around down in Baltimore on Saturday. This time he looks at a low pitch, ball one. And Jim Odom takes a look at the baseball and puts a new one in play. They play about as deep for Frank Robinson as anybody. Both Plines in center, Stargell in left, almost back to the warning track. One ball, no strikes. 3-0 the Pirates in the fourth inning. Swing and a miss. Big swing. Strike one. Bryles has not had any trouble at all and has not looked at all as though he's been laboring. There's a ball hit to the opposite field foul down the right field line in the seats. Whereas McNally has looked just the opposite. Dave has looked as though he has had trouble just staying in the game, getting the ball over, putting something on it. Bryles, remember, has been exceedingly tough this last month. 16 games, his last 16 games, a 1.66 earned run average. Over 65 in the third innings and hasn't allowed a run in this game. There's a little pop-up foul behind home plate, and it's still one ball, two strikes. Frank, one of those rare birds, if you'll pardon the pun, more than 500 career home runs. He and Harmon Killebrew joined that circle this year. Breaking pitch misses, ball escapes Sandian, picks it up, tosses it back to Bryles. It's 2-2. Everybody thought before this World Series began it would be a super series. It has already been just that. 2-2. Look out inside with a breaking pitch. 3-2. Robinson hit last night with a fastball that rode in on him and caught him in the knee. Frank has been hit, as I recall, Bill, from last night 179 times in his major league career. The other two people that Bruce Keeson hit were sliders that just did nothing and hit him in the back. 3-2. Strikes him out. Pirates on top, 3-0.
UJ Detroit, your Detroit news station.
Jim Simpson with Bill O'Donnell, Three Rivers Stadium, Pittsburgh. McNally, the throw to Pagano, struck out back in the second inning. Takes a breaking pitch outside for McNally, ball one. Three runs, three hits, no errors for the Pirates. No runs, one hit and one error for the Orioles. We are in the last of the fourth, and McNally ready to throw, and there's a drive to left field. Over comes Buford, lets it hop. Backhands the ball as Pagan will have to stop at first base with a long single to left field. The fourth base hit, and that's one more than the Pirates got all Saturday afternoon against Dave McNally. And they also broke to a 3-0 lead, only to lose 5-3. And now the Baltimore bullpen is going to get busy again. Earl Weaver watching McNally go against the 7, 8, 9 batters, and he's already given the number 7 batter, Pagan, a leadoff single to left. Here is Hernandez, who struck out swinging in the second. Pagan at first does not have great speed. There's an attempted bunt by Hernandez, but the ball is out of the strike zone, ball one. Dave Leonard, the man again up and throwing. McNally throws, and there's a ball fouled off to the right and upstairs. One ball, no strikes. Well, there have only been four teams in the history of the best of seven World Series play that have been down two games to none and have come back to take it all. Pirates were down two games to none. Now they've evened it and, for the moment, lead the fifth game 3-0. One ball, one strike to Hernandez. None out, and there's a strike as again Hernandez offered a zip to bunt, pulled his bat back, but it's a called strike two. Robinson breaking in from third, Boop Powell from first. Nellie Bryles, the pitcher on deck, has not only done a great job throwing, but he has also driven in one of the three runs. McNally throws, ball is outside, and it's 2-2 to Jackie Hernandez. Former American leaguer has been playing a lot this year with the assorted injuries to Gene Alley. Alley has been in a couple of ball games, started one, and came on late last night to finish out the game. There's a step and a throw to first base, and McCown is back in plenty of time. Sun has gone behind the clouds for the moment as McNally throws a big, slow breaking pitch that misses. And he's going to 3-2 on the number 8 hitter, Jackie Hernandez. Hernandez, a 206 hitter during the regular season. Three runs, four hits, no errors for the Pirates. No runs, one hit, and one error for the Orioles. Another check to first base. And that one error by Brooks Robinson allowed Clines to go to third base and allowed him to score on the McNally wild pitch as Baltimore is playing very un-Baltimore-like baseball. Another check to first base. Still 3-2. McNally has not thrown to the plate since getting the 3-2 count. The gun leads off, and he's going on a 3-2 pitch. Down ball right up. Brooks is waiting for him and tags him out. A one bouncer from Blair in center field to Robinson beat Pagan, who is not the swiftest Pirate by any stretch of the imagination, by three or four steps, and Robinson was just waiting to make the tag. Pirates playing hustling baseball, but Blair hustled a throw into Brooks Robinson to throw him out. Hernandez on at first base with a base hit. And here is Nelson Bryles. Bryles has struck out two, walked nobody, allowed a two-out single to Brooks Robinson in the second. Other than that, nobody has touched him up. Nobody has reached base. Bryles had a count of 0-2 on him back in the second inning. Battled McNally to a 2-2 count and then rifled a single to center field. Squares around to bunt, bunts right in front of the plate. Picked up by Elrod Hendricks, who has to go to first base. For the out, Johnson covering as sliding into second goes Hernandez. And that will give Cash to drive in a run, a chance to drive in a run. With Hernandez down at second base, Cash walked in the first inning and bounced into a forced play to end the second. Pirates lead it by three. We're in the last of the fourth. Brother Hendricks walks out in front of home plate. Does a little gardening. Now moves back. Our fans want another run as they begin to clap as Cash waits to deliver McNally a big curve outside. It's ball one. Play Cash straight away and not too deep. Now he comes back with another curve. This one drops over for a strike. It's one ball, one strike. infield back with two out and Hernandez at second. Pretty good leadoff second. Another breaking pitch. Grounded forward. Philander shortstop up with it. A throw to first base. He's got it by half a step and Cash does a leap in the air thinking he had beat it out. No runs on two base hits. There were no errors and one left. And now we've gone four innings. And the Pittsburgh Pirates in this important fifth game lead the Baltimore Orioles 3-0.
Bill O'Donnell and Jim Simpson with you in Game 5 of the 1971 World Series. And at the end of four innings of play, it's Pittsburgh 3 runs, 5 hits against McNally. And it's Baltimore no runs, one hit against right-hander Nelson Bryles. So Baltimore down by 3 runs, comes to the top of the fifth inning with some power. It'll bring up Elrod Hendricks, then Brooks Robinson, plus Dave Johnson.
Hendricks fly to short center field back in the second inning. Baltimore got 3 runs in the first inning last night and for the last 12 innings has not scored a run. Blanked the last 8 last night, the first 4 this afternoon. And they have but one base hit, one base runner in 4 innings of swinging away against Bryles, and now throws to Hendricks, who takes inside, ball one. Bryles, as we've said, has been to the World Series wars before. He was with the Cardinals in 67 and 68. Inside high with a fastball, it's 2-0. In 67, you'll recall, the Cardinals went the distance to edge the Red Sox in the Great Series, and then there was that unbelievable comeback in 1968 by the Tigers, led by Mickey Lolich, to take the Cardinals. As that series went the distance. 69, the Mets won it in 5. And last year, the Orioles won it in 5 over Cincinnati. Strike right down the middle of the fastball. 2 balls, 1 strike. Ellie Hendricks with Brooks Robinson on deck. We are on the top of the fifth of a 3-0 ball game. Bryles, the right-hander, throws, and there's a ball fouled out of play off to the left. 2-2. For Hendricks, they respect the fact that he pulls. Hernandez is at back of second base and shaded a little bit toward first base. Only Pagan on the left side of the infield. Hendricks steps out. Bryles ready, throws 2-2, misses low and inside, 3-2. I hope you saw or heard last night's first World Series night game. Pirate fan, Oriole fan, makes no difference. That 4-3 ball game had everything in it. It was quite a ball game. Here's a 3-2 pitch to Hendricks, who takes inside, and there's the first walk given up by Bryles, and only the second man he is allowed to reach first base. Here's Brooks Robinson, who singled to center. Last time up, the only base hit off Bryles. That was a 2-out in the second. Hernandez walks in to say a few words to Bryles, who is in back of the mound. Bob Robertson walks over from first base to yell a few words to Bryles. And Nelly now taking his time at the mound. Ready to throw, working from the stretch, and it's low and away, ball one. Robinson looks down to Billy Hunter, who's coaching at third base, George Stoller over at first. Bryles comes back with a fastball at the knees. It's strike one. 1 ball, 1 strike. Orioles had won 16 in a row until Steve Glass beat them 5-1 on Tuesday. Since that time, the Orioles, of course, have lost 2 in a row. The Blass and Keeson. 1-1 pitch, breaking pitch, grounded toward shortstop. Hernandez over, throws quickly to second base. Throw back to first base. Runners in the world. Hernandez had to go into the hole to dig the ball out. He got Hendricks with a step to spare at second. Cash is relay to Robertson. A step or two ahead of Brooks Robinson. And now the bases are clear, and here is Dave Johnson, who flied a very short center field to end the second inning. Pirates lead it 3-0. In the top of the fifth. Stargell, respecting the newfound power of Johnson that had 18 home runs this year, backs up and left, and there's a ball hit off the fist into short left. Stargell is on his way in. Hernandez on his way out. Stargell said, I've got it. Miles gets him again. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. We'll go to the last of the fifth. The Pirates 3, the Orioles nothing. Along with Bill O'Donnell, this is Jim Simpson back at Three Rivers Stadium. Well, the Pirates are coming to bat now. Have had at least one man on base in their last 10 innings in a row since going out 1-2-3 in the second inning last night. The only time last night they did go down in order. Meanwhile, the Orioles are looking for some kind of base hits. They haven't had a run now in their last 13 innings of play. Pirates last night defeated 20-game winner Pat Dobson. The day before, 20-game winner Mike Cuellar, and now they've got 20-game winner Dave McNally on the ropes. They're out in front by the score of 3-0, and what is worse, Bryles is pitching a one-hitter. That is what is worse if you are an Oriole fan. But this is Pirate territory as we go to the last of the fifth, and Gene Kline, Roberto Clemente, and Willie Stargell. And for the last of the fifth, here's Bill O'Donnell.
Thank you, Jim, and hello again, everybody. Bottom of the fifth inning, and the Pirates with the number two man in their order. And the speed merchant, Gene Kline, the center fielder, to be followed by Roberto Clemente and Willie Stargell. Kline, the right-hand cutter, is thrown a low breaking pitch for ball one. Kline grounded into a forced play in the first inning, later stole a base. He walked and scored a run in the third. McNally's 1-0 is a knee-high strike to the looking Kline. Kline in this World Series is 0-5. During the National League campaign, Kline's batted 308. He is not known for power. Played in shallow center, extremely shallow center by Blair. McNally's change is outside. Ball two and strike one to Kline. McNally has not had really a cruise inning. He has struggled since the ball game started. His 2-1, a fastball strike inside corner. It just bit on the corner to the belt of Kline. Two balls and two strikes. Although McNally did not give up any runs in the first inning, he did walk the leadoff man, Cash, gave up two runs in the second, a run in the third, pulled out of a fourth inning jam. 2-2, long drive, left center field. Blair's going way back, way back, way back. It one hops off the wall in center field. Kline turns second. He's on his way to third, and Belanger will make no throw. Belanger realized he had no throw against Kline. Kline bangs a triple to begin the Pirates, bottom of the fifth inning. And with a hammering three-bagger by Kline, let's see if Baltimore's bullpen gets active again. Kline, who can really pick him up and lay him down. He motors strong as at third base, and Roberto Clemente is up. Being up again in Baltimore's bullpen, the right-hander Dave Leonard. Clemente sent a long drive to the right field wall, caught by Frank Robinson in the first inning. Grounded out, short to first in the third inning. All four Baltimore infielders now tighten up. They're right back of the infield carpet. Clemente hits a ground ball. By the mound over second base for an RBI base hit. Clemente continues his World Series streak. He has now hit in 12 straight World Series games. In this World Series, he has 9 hits in 20 appearances. Earl Weaver is making a march to the mound, a march that looks like he might go to his bullpen. Weaver, with his hands on his hips, as yet has not motioned to the Baltimore bullpen, but now has. And Dave Leonard will be brought on to pitch against the Pirates here in the bottom of the fifth inning. They were leading 3-0. They now go ahead 4-0 on a triple, one hopping off the wall in center by Kline, followed by a base hit up the middle off Clemente's bat. McNally leads, pitching four innings plus two batters, giving up seven base hits, four runs, striking out three, and walking two. And Dave Leonard will come on to face Willie Stargell.
Dave Leonard, 29 years old, born in Arlington, Virginia, now living in Baltimore. Spent most of this past season in the International League with Rochester and managed to get in only 54 innings with the Orioles. He won two, lost three, and was credited with one save and had a 2.89 earned run average. Right-hander coming on, he has not appeared in the World Series until now. Well, the Buccos, who sit down in Baltimore, wait till we get them back at Three River Stadium, have proven it so far, winning 5-1, 4-3 in the thriller last night. Now they're out in front by the score of 4-0. I'm sure if you follow baseball, you know as long as you've got that big four-run lead, maybe the tying run will come to the plate with the bases loaded. But the winning run can never come to the plate. A four-run cushion is a great thing for a pitcher like Nellie Bryles to be working with. Bryles extremely effective for the last month of play, last 16 games, and thus far today he has walked one and given up one walk, which was, as we said in the fifth inning, he was erased on a double play, and he gave up one base hit. That's to Brooks Robinson. Other than that, he has been something else again. Well, Leonard will warm up with Clemente at first and one run in here in the last of the fifth. Stargell is waiting on deck as we pause 30 seconds for station identification. Dave Leonard, and here's Bill.
And Leonard now will go into a pause to the bell with Clemente, the base runner held by Powell. Nobody gone in the Pirate fifth inning. They lead 4-0. And Leonard, who has the best right-handed move on the Orioles staff, makes a move towards Clemente's lead. Stargell is hitless in this ballgame. He is 0-2. Left-hand batting Stargell taking high and away, ball one. Leonard making not only his first appearance in this World Series, but making his first appearance ever in World Series competition. He's looking to Clemente, throws that way again, and Clemente steps back safely. To start the 1971 season, Leonard was optioned to Rochester, where he won seven and lost four. He works a fastball outside to Big Stargell. He's behind Willie 2-0. At Rochester, before being recalled by Baltimore in early July, Leonard won seven and lost four. His 2-0 delivery is popped up towards third baseman Brooks Robinson. Brooks, shading his eyes from the sun, backs up on the skin of the infield. He makes the grab to retire Willie Stargell. Leonard, who has come on to replace McNally from the bullpen, the Orioles are also keeping that pen active with hard-throwing big right-hander Tom Dukes. One gone, bottom of the fifth inning, a Klein's three-bagger, a Clemente ground single up the middle, has Pittsburgh ahead of Baltimore 4-0. Here is Bob Robertson with a mighty center field home run wallop in the second inning. Safe on an error by third baseman Brooks Robinson in the third inning. A quick toss to first base and sliding back safely is the surprise Clemente. Clemente just dove back feet first, and he didn't expect Leonard to get there that quickly. Leonard again moves to first base and stepping back a little bit more slowly, Clemente. At last time, Clemente didn't inch as much off the bag as he had the last time. Robertson taking low and away, ball one. Home run wise, Robertson during the season had 26. However, was shut out in the month of September. The ball one delivery. Check swing on a low outside breaking ball. Two balls and no strikes. And then after having the home run door shut in his face during the entire month of September, Robertson has now come back in postseason play with six home runs. 4 in the playoffs against the Giants and 2 in this series against Baltimore. He hits a high pop-up down the third base foul line. Brooks Robinson towards the seats, and it's going to drop out of play in the seats. This ball game was scoreless through the first inning. The Pirates got a pair in the second, one more in the third, one more here in the fifth to lead 4-0. Pirates won game 4 of the series last night 4-3. They won game 3 5-1 after the Orioles had won the first pair at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore. Leonard's glance to Clemente, delivers high, and Hendricks, the catcher, has to reach sky high and bring it down. 3 balls, 1 strike, that's the count to hard-cutting Bob Robertson. Well, two gentlemen from the state of Maryland facing each other. The lad from Mount Savage, Robertson, against the lad from Baltimore. And by the way, a graduate of Johns Hopkins University is Dave Leonard. He's 3 balls, 1 strike to the dangerous Robertson. Swing and a miss at a breaking stuff. 3 balls and 2 strikes, the count. Well, the Pirates have been doing a lot of run and hitting in this series, and let's see if they motor Clemente with a lead of 4-0 and 1 out on a 3-ball, 2-strike count to Robertson. Sam Guillen is the on-deck man. Clemente, not too long a lead against the paws of Leonard, and Leonard drives him back with a toss to Powell. Second baseman Johnson is shading strongly to his throwing side, a couple of steps back of the bag. 3-2 to Robertson. Clemente stays. The pitch is high. And Robertson has thrown a walk on a 3-2 pitch. It pushes Clemente with one out to second base. Walk number 1 issued by reliever Leonard. Dave McNally, the starter, passed a pair. Manny Sanguine is up. Singled in the second. Stole the base. Scored a run. McNally made him look at strike 3 in the third. It's Pittsburgh 4, Baltimore nothing, in the bottom of the fifth inning. Duke still heating in the Baltimore bullpen. Leonard trying to pull the Orioles out of this fifth inning jam. Here's a foul to the right side off the bat of Manny Sanguine. In every inning so far, the Pirates have left a man on base. As a matter of fact, coming into this fifth game, they had left 41 men aboard. One striker by Leonard. It's high and tight to the right-hand batting Sanguine. 1 ball, 1 strike, 1 out, 2 runners aboard, and a Pirate run home here in the fifth inning. Sanguine in the series is 6-for-19. The check of the runners, Leonard to the plate 1-1. High and tight again, and Sanguine has to move the head back. 2 balls and 1 strike. One of the extra pluses about Sanguine, not only is he hit for a high average, and not only is he great defensively, but he can really run. 2-1. He pops it up towards the first base side. Powell drifting along the foul line in foul territory, 3 or 4 steps back of the bag. Powell has it in that mitt. Sanguine fouls out. 2 gone now, and now to Jose Pagan. McNally struck out Jose in the second inning. And then Pagan got a base hit to left in the fourth inning, tried to race to third on a base hit to center by Hernandez, and was sawed off by Blair's throw to Brooks Robinson at third. Powell not holding on Bob Robertson, who has an extra good lead. Clemente in front of him is off second base. Swing and a miss at a breaking ball to the knees of Pagan. Pagan is 3-for-10 in this World Series. He had the great 1962 World Series in the San Francisco uniform when he batted 368. As a matter of fact, among players who appeared in all 7 games, Pagan had the highest batting average. Leonard's look to the runners is 0-1. He snaps it high, 1 ball, 1 strike count to Pagan. Hernandez is the man on deck. Naturally, since this series game is being played in Bucktown, there are signs all over this ballpark rooting on their favorite Pirates. Clemente off second, plus Robertson off first. And Leonard just breaks contact with the rubber, bluffs Clemente a couple of steps back towards second, and Leonard reaches down and just fingers up on that rosin bag briefly. Leonard has replaced Dave McNally here in the bottom of the fifth inning. Right-hander to right-hander, one and one. High. Pagan started to go, and then he changed his mind. Two balls and one strike. It's the Pirates, four runs, seven hits. It's the Orioles, no runs, and just one base hit off Nelson Briles. Leonard peering to Hendricks, wigwagging. His 2-1 delivery is hit high into center field. Blair's got the radar up, and Blair is right there for the third out. The Pirates get another run, a run with two hits, and they leave a pair. At the end of five innings of play, Pittsburgh 4, Baltimore nothing.
Well, our reminder that on Saturday afternoon at 12:45 Eastern Time, we will be back at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore for the sixth game of the World Series. And at the moment, it looks as though the Pirates will go into that game with a 3-2 lead, but we are just now in the sixth inning. And, of course, the Orioles have a lot of firepower that carried them to the American League pennant, their third in as many years. And, of course, they also won back in 1966, missing out in 67 to the Red Sox and 68 to Detroit. But the problem becomes for Baltimore. They have now gone 13 complete innings since scoring a run. They scored three in the first inning last night, left the final eight without a run, and the first five here this afternoon without a run. And what is more, Nelson Briles, who's only pitched three innings since September the 30th, and that's all he pitched, and has been bothered by a full hamstring muscle, has allowed one base hit, one walk. That man was erased on a double play and has struck out two. Things at the moment in this fifth game look tough for the Birds. But it's 4-0. Top of the sixth, Belanger to lead off, and here's Bill O'Donnell.
Inside the bag at third, up to the carpet is Pagan. One strike deal coming in. Breaking ball grounded towards third. Inside the bag, Pagan digs it out, throws out the speedy Belanger. And that's the first out in the top of the sixth inning. Dave Leonard, the relief pitcher, is due. We are screened from the Baltimore dugout area on the third base side of the field. And let's see who's going to come up. It's going to be a fellow they call in Baltimore, the Little Mosquito, Tom Schilpe. Schilpe has been to bat twice in this series as a pinch hitter and has failed to pick up a base hit. Schilpe, during 1971 against American League pitching, batted 257. He does not have power. He does have great speed. Schilpe still feeling a couple of bats in the on-deck area, and he will come on to bat for Leonard, which means that Tom Dukes, a big, strong right-hander, will come out of Baltimore's bullpen to pitch against the Pirates in the bottom half of this sixth inning. It's Pittsburgh 4, Baltimore nothing, and this is Game 5. Game 6 will come up Saturday in Baltimore, and if there's a seventh game, it stays right in Baltimore on Sunday afternoon. Third baseman Pagan playing just about the same against the left-hand swings of Schilpe as he did against the right-hand swings ahead of him of Belanger. A strike right down the groove. Schilpe is a little fellow, and he moves as far as he can to the front of the box. He's got that deep waistband right on top of the plate. The one-strike pitch is outside and high. One ball and one strike to Tommy Schilpe. Close and inside the bag at third, Pagan. He stays right there, well over to left to Stargell against the left-hand batter who strokes it foul to the netting. A ball and two strikes to Schilpe, batting for reliever Dave Leonard. Baltimore has only enjoyed two base runners in this game. Brooks Robinson, a base hit in the second, a Hendricks walk in the fifth. The next pitch, Schilpe strokes a foul straight back. So the count rides between Nelly Briles and Tommy Schilpe at a ball and two strikes. Towards the hole against the left-hand batter at short is Hernandez. The 1-2 whipped in and fouled straight back again. That count keeps now at a ball and two strikes. Playing well towards the left field foul line, although Schilpe cuts from the left side, is Stargell. Well into left center is Kleins. A bit to right center is Clemente. It is rare that Schilpe pulls. He moves the ball around. 1-2 again. low and away as Bryles tried to chew off that outside corner to the knees. Two balls and two strikes, one away in Baltimore's half of the sixth inning. Nelson Bryles, the man from St. Louis, winding and dealing two and two. Here's a high drive, deep right field. Clemente going back in front of the warning area, leaps up and makes the grand. That was not a circus leap by Clemente, but he did have to come off his feet just before he hit the warning track and ride. So Chopé, batting for Leonard, gives the ball a good ride, but Clemente galloped back to bring it home. Here's Baltimore's leadoff batter, Don Buford, popped to the shortstop in the first inning and bounced out third to first in the third. Buford is 2-for-15 in this World Series. In four Baltimore seasons, Buford has had a fabulous on-base percentage of better than 400%. Strike with a Bryles fastball at the knees. And there's Pagan against Buford, just as he stayed against Belanger and Chopé, well inside the bag at third. The 0-1 changeup is low. One ball and one strike. Bryles, who was very, very impressive in late season starts, equally impressive today in this fifth World Series game. Here's a high drive to right field. Clemente comes in and now backs off. Clemente is there. And Bryles has a 1-2-3 sixth inning. At the end of five and a half innings, it's Pittsburgh 4, Baltimore nothing.
Tim Simpson, along with Bill O'Donnell, and we're back at Three Rivers Stadium. It is the last of the sixth inning. Tom Dukes is coming on. Dukes, born in Knoxville, Tennessee, now lives out in Arcadia, California. And he is, of course, in his first year with the Orioles after service with Houston and then San Diego, appeared in 28 ball games, one run, lost five, had four saves, run on average of 3.52, and has made one appearance in the 1971 World Series. Worked one inning, walked nobody, gave up no hits, pitched a perfect inning. He'll face Jackie Hernandez in this 4-0 ball game. The Pirates lead it over the Orioles as we go to the last of the sixth. And here is Bill O'Donnell.
Well, Pittsburgh today has looked at off-speed stuff, breaking balls from McNally, average fastball, breaking pitches from Leonard. Now they go against a hard thrower, Dukes. And there's a hard breaking ball for strike one. It is rare that Dukes throws the changeup. He's got a good live fastball and an extremely good hard curve when he's right. The strike one pitch to Jackie Hernandez. Breaking ball fouled off the end of the Hernandez bat behind the plate. Two strikes to Hernandez. McNally struck him out on a high pitch in the second inning, and then Hernandez picked on McNally for a base hit to center in the fourth. On that base hit, Pagan tried to race to third and was cut down. Blair's throw to Brooks Robinson. Dukes waiting on Hernandez to get set. He spreads the feet right in the middle of the box. Right-hander to right-hander, 0-2. Foul to the right side. Still two strikes to Jackie Hernandez. Hernandez, in his first Pirate year, he was with the Kansas City Ball Club last year and came over to Pittsburgh during the offseason together with pitcher Bob Johnson in exchange for a little shortstop Freddie Potek and pitcher Bruce Dalcanton. The 0-2er by Dukes to Hernandez, and it hits him on the arm, I believe. It hit him on the arm or the wrist on the right side, and now it's being checked by the plate umpire Jim Odom. And here is Hendricks complaining, plus Earl Weaver complaining, both complaining to Odom that the ball first hit the bat and then hit the wrist. Odom's decision at the moment is that Hernandez was hit first by the pitch. Hendricks has moved out of the argument. Weaver remains in the argument with plate umpire Odom. There's no doubt it hit him on the hand or the wrist, but the doubt as far as Weaver and Hendricks are concerned is that it hit the bat first. Sudol begins to move down the foul line to try to break off the Weaver-Odom squabble. In the first inning, a Pirate leadoff man got on, Cash with a walk. In the second, the leadoff man Robertson homered. In the third, the leadoff man Kleins walked. In the fourth, the leadoff man Pagan singled. In the fifth, the leadoff man Kleins tripled. So for the sixth straight inning, a Pittsburgh leadoff man has reached.
this time on a controversial call as far as Weaver, Hendricks, and the plate umpire Odom are concerned. Now it's Odom, along with third base umpire Sudol, that are surrounding the complaining Oriole manager, Earl Weaver.
Well, some may wonder why Earl Weaver would be putting up such a fuss on getting the leadoff man on. As we have said before, a four-run lead and the tying run can come to play. A five-run lead and you can never send a tying run to play. And, of course, here in the sixth inning, the Pirates have what could be the fifth run, the leadoff man, on base. And thus, Weaver rates the big argument. But as always happens, he has lost it. Here comes Johnny Bryan.
Crowds naturally from this Pittsburgh crowd of 50,000 plus getting a very warm, long greeting. He singled over a Pirate run in the second inning, laid down a sacrifice bunt in the fourth inning. Hernandez at first base leads, and he's held by Powell. The stretching Dukes delivers. Bryce turns, tries to bunt, and doesn't get it for strike one. On that attempted bunt by Nelson Bryles, not only did Dave Johnson, the second baseman, start to circle towards first base, but the veteran right fielder, Frank Robinson, rushed in all the way from shallow right to go to first base against Hernandez. The set by Dukes, he pauses right outside the belt. Still gazes to first base, delivers. The bunt is foul off the end of the bat behind the plate. Bryles, the first time, unsuccessful bunting, missed it, and now has fouled off the next delivery. Dave McNally started this fifth game for Baltimore. Relieved in the bottom of the fifth inning by Dave Leonard. Leonard was yanked for a pinch hitter shield play in the top half of this inning, so it's Tom Dukes now in the bottom of the sixth inning. He's got Hernandez to concern him, leading off first base. Bryles on the 0-2, swings away and misses. He took the full cut and give Dukes a strikeout. Bryles returning to the Pirates' first base dugout, and here's leadoff man Dave Cash. Cash walked to begin the Pirate first inning, bounced into a fielder's choice in the second inning, and then had a base hit taken away from him by Belanger in the hole at short. Belanger not only had to range wide to the hole at short, he had to throw deep from the hole to get the speed of Dave Cash. So the man out of Tennessee, Tom Dukes, facing the man out of upstate New York, Utica's Dave Cash, batting with one on and one away. The set and the pitch is low to Dave Cash. One ball and no strikes. Cash is what they call in baseball lingo a contact hitter. He rarely strikes out. Hernandez, short lead, with one out. The 1-0 is down the middle but low. Two balls and no strikes. Hendricks knew it had the plate. He also thought it had the knees of Cash. Cash now giving his third base boss, Frank Osiak, that green light or red-like look. Duke sets, delivers. Breaking ball, hit high to right field, down the right field foul line. It is a foul ball. 2 feet foul down in the right field corner. And when the ball dropped foul, the base runner Hernandez was only three strides away from third base. So Cash got that go-ahead sign from third base coach Osiak and sailed it foul down the right field side. Two balls, one strike to Cash. He is 3-for-19 in this, his very first World Series. The young rookie, the first man ever to take away a job from veteran Pirate Bill Mazeroski. And many other fellows had tried to do that in prior years. Cash flicking the bat out towards the set of Dukes. Dukes throws to first base and back safely is Hernandez. Hernandez was hit on the wrist by Dukes' pitch to start the Pirates' sixth, and then Bryles, after trying to sacrifice, eventually struck out. The 2-1, the runner goes. Here's a ground ball to Brooks Robinson at third. No throw to second. Throw to first in plenty of time to retire Cash. So as they have done so much in this World Series, the Pirates run and swing again. They ran Hernandez, they had Cash swing away, and bounce out third to first. So the Pirates again have a runner at second base. Hernandez with two out, and they're going to bat Speedy Gene Klein. It was Klein's who began the bottom of the fifth inning against McNally with a long wallop to deep center, so long, in fact, it one-hopped off the wall in center, And by the time the ball returned to the infield, there was Clines with a hit-first diving slide into third base for a three-bagger. Clines has also drawn a walk and also bounced into a force play. He's stolen a base and scored a pair of runs. Clines, a little right-hand batter, with Hernandez off second and two down. Breaking ball is outside. Clines began to put the finger on that swing trigger and then laid off it. In 1968, pitching for Houston, Jukes appeared, incidentally, in nine consecutive games in relief, tying a major league record. The Baltimore right-hander, Dukes, looks back to second. Breaking ball fanned at and missed by the swinging Clines. Ball one, strike one count. Pirate people tell us that Clines has the best speed from the batting area down the first base foul line to the bag. Dukes paying attention to Hendricks, now looks back to the runner. His 1-1 is outside, two balls and one strike. All of Tom Dukes' pitching jobs this year for manager Earl Weaver, strictly as a reliever. Most of the times in middle relief, once in a while in late relief. 2-1 pitch, breaking ball, skied into center field. Blair is right there, does the waiting job, and Blair has it in the glove for out number three. At the end of six innings of play, it's Pittsburgh 4, Baltimore nothing.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you, Jim, and our thanks also to Bing Crosby as we start the top of the seventh inning, and Bryle starts off Blair with a looking strike at the knees. Bryle struck out Blair, gazing in the first inning. Blair flied to right in the fourth, so this is his third trip against tough right-hander Bryles. It's 0-1, strike two, knee-high fastball. Bryles has four pitches, fastball, curve, sinker off the fastball, and a palm ball. And he's had great control. 0-2 to Blair. Low, one ball and two strikes. Pittsburgh's lead is 4-0. Bryles has been extremely stingy, giving up just one base hit to Brooks Robinson in the second inning. Right now, he's ahead of the right-hand swings of Blair. 1-2. Throws a breaking ball fouled off the end of the bat. Blair with a late swing. A defensive swing as he tried to protect that outside corner. Count rides at 1-2. So far, through the first six innings, Bryles has never had to push on the panic button. Blair, 1-2. It's a pop-up into shallow center. On comes Clines. Back is Hernandez. It's Clines there for the putout. Blair becomes out number one. When the Orioles came to Pittsburgh, they had produced 24 base hits in the first two games, winning 5-3 and 11-3. In three games now, of course the third game here in Pittsburgh not complete, the Orioles have managed only eight base hits. They had three hits in game three, four hits last night, just one bingle today. Oop Powell against Bryles, a strike at the letter. Powell has bounced to the mound and lined to leaping second baseman Cash in the fourth. The shortstop Hernandez has backed to the tartan turf outfield and to the first base side of second. Winding, Bryles 0-1. Sends in a strike. He challenged a foul with a belt high fastball. That normally is Powell's power zone. Belt high down the middle. So Bryles outguessed Powell. Every Pittsburgh pitcher has changed styles against Powell, thrown fastballs and then changeups and try to confuse him. The 0-2 is a high foul straight back towards the NBC booth, and, well, naturally, it's out of play. Pittsburgh, four runs and seven hits against McNally, Leonard, and Dukes. Baltimore, no runs, just one hit against Bryles. The only fellow between third and second against Powell is Pagan. 0-2, changeup, lined, right center, base hit, right by the shortstop Hernandez, who is playing to the first base side of second. So there's hit number two, and the first safety since a Brooks Robinson base knock in the second. Powell with his second base hit in this World Series. He's at first base with one out, and Frank Robinson steps up. Frank Robinson fouled out to first baseman Robertson in the second inning, and Bryles struck him out on a slider in the third. Baltimore needs four runs to tie in the late stages now of this ball game. Needs five to go ahead. Powell's lead, not held by Robertson. Here's a high pop-up towards the Pittsburgh dugout, and it will go back of the dugout out of play. Strike one to Frank Robinson. Frank Robinson, who produced not only 500 home runs during his major league career this season. He had 28 for the season and had kind of a slow start. No home runs in the month of April. Then he came back with four in May, had six in June. He had a big July with eight homers, tailed off a bit in August with three, and then came back with seven in September. One strike to Frank Robinson. He hits a ground chopper wide at third, gloved by Pop Flegon to second for one. The first of the play. Pittsburgh 4, Baltimore nothing.
Well, do you begin to realize now it is 15 innings since the Orioles have gotten on the scoreboard against the Pittsburgh pitching. The Pirate pitching staff is judged by those who know to be better than the Baltimore pitching staff, and we're speaking of the bullpen now. The Pirate starters are not said to be up to snuff to the four 20-game winners that the Baltimore Orioles have, and McNally and Palmer certainly did the job down in Baltimore on Saturday and Monday. But since coming back here, Steve Blass, a 15-gamer game winner, did a great job in his 5-1 decision. In relief last night, 21-year-old Bruce Keeson was mystical for the Orioles. He gave up no runs and only one hit in six and a third innings. And now this afternoon, Nelson Vile has thoroughly throttled the Orioles. As we go to the last of the seventh, the Pirates at the moment are in command 4-0 and send up Clemente, Stargell, and Robertson. And here's Bill O'Donnell.
And Jim, what a 1971 World Series Roberto Clemente has had. 1-for-3 this afternoon, 9-for-20 in five games so far. Dukes to Clemente. Fastball strike, and he chewed off the inside corner at Clemente's knees. Now, Clemente is nowhere near the plate. Matter of fact, he's way off it and deep to the box. The 0-1 to Roberto. Breaking ball, slapped on the ground foul, down towards third. I guess the most remarkable thing about the consistent hitting of Clemente is the position in which he stands in the box. He stands well off the plate, back to the deep restraining line, and he reaches outside pitches just as equally well as he does inside pitches or grooving stuff down the middle. Clemente leading off the Pirates, seventh down, 0-2 to Dukes. Fouls it off the thumb, straight back. Clemente drilled Frank Robinson to the right field wall for a fly ball in the first inning to be retired. Bounced out to short in the third, and then got his base hit in this ball game in the fifth inning, which also knocked out the starter McNally and scored Gene Pines. Two-strike pitch again. High, one ball, and two strikes. Clemente with a 12-game World Series hitting streak. Hit in all seven 1960 World Series encounters. High. Two balls, two strikes to Clemente. It'll be Stargell next with Robertson waiting down in the Pirate dugout. Dukes just waiting on Clemente to get set, and he is. Right-hander to right-hander. Dukes to Clemente. Foul to the screen. I guess one of the great comical lines and one of the fine lines we've heard during this World Series relating to Roberto Clemente is that somebody sparked the line that Roberto will hit 320 the year after he dies. 2-2 again. Here's a ground ball pass. Dukes to the right of second base. Johnson is on top of it and throws out Clemente by a step. Clemente lost control of the bat, which rolled out halfway between the plate and the mound. The ground ball was to the first base side of the mound, but Johnson dug it out, then gave an underhand toss to foul. Clemente was out by one step. Willie Stargell hitless today, has grounded to short, has flied to left and popped up. He had the good evening last night. He went 2-for-5 and knocked over a run. Stargell takes low from right-hander Dukes. One ball, no strikes to the Major League home run leader of 1971. Winding, Dukes delivers. Strike, he took the fastball to the outside edge. One ball and one strike. Dukes concentrating on Hendricks, shakes off his side. Now he says, okay, I like that one better. 1-1er, Stargell takes high. Talk about a fellow who has traveled. Well, Dukes has been all around the minors and a couple of clubs in the majors. He's been to St. Petersburg, Auburn, Augusta, Columbus, Richmond, Atlanta, Toledo, Oklahoma City. Outside. 3-1. The last 2 years, 69 and 70, he spent with the San Diego Padres. He came over with Pat Dobson offseason. Work Stargell, 3-1. Line drive, base hit, center field. That was right past the reaching glove of Dukes at the first base side of the mound. Stargell with his first hit today, with hit number 4 in this series. Bangs a one-out base hit to center, and here comes Bob Robertson. It was Robertson who got the Pirates ahead with a leadoff homer, a solo job in the second inning. He has since reached on an error by third baseman Brooks Robinson, also walked in the fifth. So Robertson has yet to be retired today. Stargell is the one-out Pirate runner, leading at first base and bird dog by Powell. Dukes checks, now throws. Swing and a miss of the knee-high breaking ball. The Pirates batting in the bottom of the seventh inning. And this, friends, is game 5 of the World Series. Locked up at 2 victories apiece. At the moment, the Pirates look very much in command, as Bryles has only given up 2 base hits. 1-1. Robertson looks low. 1-1. Most people talk about the big power bat of Robertson, but they might forget that back in June, he set a record for the most assists by a first baseman in a ball game. Waits 1-1. Takes outside high. 2-1. Stocky, sandy-haired, barrel-chested built, Bob Robertson in the bottom of the seventh inning. He has had 6 postseason home runs, 4 in the playoffs, and 2 in this World Series. 2-1 by Dukes. Is tapped in front of the plate. Picked up barehanded by Hendricks. No throw to second. Does gun his toss in time to Powell. And Robertson is out. Robertson took a full whiff with the bat. Just got a piece of the ball. It trickled about 3 feet in front of the plate. Hendricks charged out. Barehand pickup. Looks to Stargell running to second. Knew he had no move there. Threw to first base to retire Robertson. Stargell's at second with 2 out. And the batter is the tough Manny Sanguia. Sanguian has a base hit, plus a steal and a run scored. 4 runs, 8 hits for Pittsburgh. No runs, 2 hits for Baltimore in game 5 in the bottom of the seventh inning. Dukes gives a backward glance to Stargell's lead and a good lead at second base. Sanguian, the right-hand batter, hits a fly ball center field way. Blair comes on. He makes the knee-high catch to retire the side. No runs, 1 hit, and 1 left. So that puts the cover on 7 innings with a score. Pittsburgh 4, Baltimore nothing.
We'll go over the Orioles as we go to the top of the eighth inning. Here are some of the statistics here at Three Rivers Stadium. Baltimore has scored 4 runs in these 3 games on a home run by Frank Robinson on Tuesday, a pass ball and 2 sacrifice flies last night. And in the last 14 innings, Baltimore has had no runs and just 3 hits. And we come to the eighth inning and they trail 4-0. Hendricks leads it off, and here's Bill O'Donnell.
All right, Ellie Hendricks has fly to center. He walked against Bryles in the fifth inning. This is the top of the eighth. Pittsburgh leading 4-0. Ground ball, back of first base. Mitted by Robertson. Goes to the bag himself on assisted putout. Robertson retiring Elrod Hendricks on the first pitch. And we're in the top of the eighth inning. That was a hot hammering smash just inside the first base foul line. Robertson was a good 5 strides deep behind the bag. Got the ball right in the mitt. And then outchased Hendricks to retire him unassisted. 1 gone, top of the eighth. Here is Brooks Robinson. He has singled and bounced into a double play. He and Powell have the only base hits off right-hander Bryles. Bryles cranks up and moves the ball outside. 1-1. Brooks Robinson is 6-for-15 in this World Series. He was 9-for-21 in the World Series a year ago against Cincinnati. Pumping, delivering, 1-0. Here's a high drive deep to left field. Stargell is on the warning track. He's got it. Brooks Robinson pulled it, but not deep enough. Stargell was playing deep and left, galloped back two or three strides, hit the warning area to retire Brooks Robinson. So Bryles has set down two fellows who can hit long balls, Hendricks and Brooks Robinson. Now he meets the right-hand swinging second baseman, Dave Johnson. Two gone, bases empty. Here's a high pop-up. Shortstop Hernandez to the outfield carpet in fair ground. Hernandez for the third out. In the middle of the eighth inning, Justice Bryles sets down Baltimore 1-2-3. It's Pittsburgh 4, Baltimore nothing.
Back in Pittsburgh for the last of the eighth inning. Down in the Pittsburgh bullpen, Steve Bless, who pitched that marvelous game on Tuesday, winning 5-1, has been throwing, and we would hazard a guess that Bless is simply loosening up. He did not pitch, of course, yesterday, and this is the second day, and he may be just loosening up. Bless, along with Bob Johnson, possible starter on Saturday in the sixth game, and both are listed possible starters for Sunday. The last of the eighth, the Pirates up. Here's Bill O'Donnell.
And Jose Pagan swings and doesn't get a hard breaking ball under his knees. Strike one. McNally struck out Pagan in the second. Pagan had a base hit in the fourth, fly to center in the fifth inning. Dukes has been on the scene in relief following McNally and Leonard since the sixth inning. He's given up one base hit and hit a man. Low, one ball, one strike to Pagan. This is the lower end, the tail end of the Pirate batting order with Pagan starting off, to be followed by Hernandez and Bryles. Dukes winding, guns in the 1-1. Here's a high foul to the right of home plate. Coming down is the Powell from first base. He bangs into Hendricks. It's in the mitt. He rolls over and Powell holds onto it. About 30 feet away from home plate and about three steps in foul ground. Powell, the big 260-pounder, was charging into foul territory. He and Hendricks were both under the foul pop-up. Powell got his mitt out, then banged into Hendricks. Powell rolled over, but kept it in the mitt. Pagan has fouled out. One away, bottom of the eighth inning. Here's Jackie Hernandez, the eighth man, on the right-hand swinging Pirate shortstop. He hits a ground foul, beat to third. One strike to Hernandez. Now, when you've got a big man like Powell, 260 pounds plus, rushing down towards the toothpick build of an Elrod Hendricks, that's like a motorcycle being hit by a truck. Hernandez, 0-1. Hits a line drive, base hit, center field. Hernandez has now been a base runner three times in this game with two base hits and also hit by a pitch. Now Pirate fans welcome Nelson Bryles. Escapes off first base and Powell is holding. The set to the belt, Dukes delivers. Bryles turns, bunts in front of the plate. Fair hand pickup by the catcher. Hendricks throws to first, in time to Johnson covering. And on the sacrifice by Bryles, the second time he's done that today, and done it the same way, pushing it in front of the plate. Hendricks does the fielding bare hand job again and throws out Bryles. Hernandez motors to second with two out, and the batter will be Dave Cash. Cash hitless today, plus a walk. Three hits in the series. Not known for power. Does drive the ball a lot to the opposite field. That would be right field for his right-hand swings. Dukes with a backward look to Hernandez. Good lead off second base. Cash strokes a line drive to short and gloved by the shortstop, Belanger. He just took one stride to his glove side. So eight innings are complete in Game 5 of the World Series. And the score is Pittsburgh 4, Baltimore nothing.
Jim Simpson with Bill O'Donnell, and we're to the top of the ninth inning, and the Baltimore Orioles have not been able to scratch against Nelson Bryles today, who has pitched a masterful two-hit shutout thus far, but he has been masterful throughout the month of September, and now you can add October to it. And the Orioles have now gone since the first inning last night without a run. That means the last 16 innings they have been held scoreless by Pirate pitching. And they're starting off with their number 8 batter in their last chance here in the ninth. Pirates lead it 4-0. And here's Bill O'Donnell.
Well, for Baltimore fans right now, Jim, it's due time or die time in the top of the ninth inning. Bryles with a 4-run lead, pitching to Belanger. Right down the middle, letter high, strike one. The due batter was reliever Dukes, but he's not in the on-deck area. Merv Redmond, a right-hand batter, is there. Winding Bryles, 0-1. Slider low, one ball and one strike. He took a little something off that pitch. Pagan at third again has inched inside the bag against Belanger. Belanger has great speed down the first baseline. Bryles, 1-1. High, two balls and one strike. The Pirate outfield extremely spread for Belanger. They gap the power alleys to Belanger in left center and right center. Count is two balls, one strike to Belanger, starting off Baltimore's top of the ninth. Bryles cranks up, 2-1. Here's a ground ball right at third baseman Pagan inside the bag. Belanger is out, and Pagan to Robertson. Merv Rettenmund will now be announced. Rettenmund to bat for Tom Dukes. Rettenmund in the World Series is 4 hits in 17 trips, including a first game 3-run homer at Baltimore. And that's where game 6 and possibly game 7 will be played Saturday and possibly Sunday. Baltimore will very definitely throw Jim Palmer against Pittsburgh on Saturday. It will either be Bob Johnson or Steve Blass for Danny Murtaugh's Pirates. Rettenmund, right-hand swinger with extra base power and often with long ball power. He closes his stance deep in the box. Pitches inside high, ball one. Pagan, 2 or 3 steps wide of third, but even with the bag. Deep left is Stargell. Deep center straight away is Pines. Normal depth to right center, Clemente. The 1-0 coming to the pinch hitter, Rettenmund. Strike is at his letters. One ball and one strike. Bryles faced only 3 men in the first, 4 in the second, 3 in the third, 3 in the fourth, 3 in the fifth, 3 in the sixth, 3 in the seventh, and 3 last inning. 1-1er to Rettenmund. Breaking ball comes low, 2 balls and 1 strike. Just 2 singles off Nelson Bryles. Brooks Robinson with 2 out in the second. Boog Powell with 1 out in the seventh. And then Powell was rubbed out on Frank Robinson's double play ground ball, third, second to first. Rettenmund, 2-1. Inside, right at the hands, 3 balls and 1 strike. In the Pittsburgh bullpen, it's left-hander Luke Walker and right-handed bullpen ace Dave Justy. After Rettenmund, it'll be the top of Baltimore's order with Don Buford. And for one of the few times today, Bryles has taken a long, relaxing pause at the mound. Now he's ready to shoot in the 3-1. In he comes. Strike is gone. He's 3 balls, 2 strikes to Rettenmund. One away in the top of the ninth inning. Bryles has shut the door in every inning thus far against Baltimore's bats. Well, Pirate fans were very pleased with the job Steve Blass did in Game 3. They're even more pleased with Bryles right now. 3-2. Ground ball to the bag at third. Scooped out by Pagan. Throws out Rettenmund. Both Belanger and Rettenmund have bounced out corner to corner. Pagan to Robinson. 2 out. Base is empty. Don Buford's the batter. Don Buford, the graduate of the University of Southern California. And a lad, although he was only 160 pounds at USC, he was in their backfield with the likes of a Willie Wood. 2 out, bases clean. Bryles to Buford. High and outside. Buford, a switch swinger, so he's batting left-handed against the right-hand offerings of Nelson Bryles. Series tied, two victories apiece. The Pirates lead in game five, 4-0, top of the ninth, 1-0. Low and tight, two balls, no strikes to the good eyes of Buford. During 1971, Buford walked 89 times, was hit seven times by opposing pitchers, had 130 base hits, and that's how great his on-base percentage was. He's been held off the bases thus far today by Briles. 2-0 coming in. Ball three. Briles has walked but one man, and that was Hendricks to begin the top of the fifth inning. He's in danger now against Buford, trailing on a three-ball, no-strike count. Around with his right arm, delivers. Ball four. He throws four pitches out of the strike zone, and Baltimore, with two out, gets a base runner here in the top of the ninth inning. Now it'll be Paul Blair, who has looked at strike three, who has flied to right and flied to center. For the first time today, there is a mound meeting involving the Pirates, involving young second baseman Cash, veteran catcher San Guillen, and the 28-year-older Nelson Briles. Briles, as Jim Simpson told you earlier in this broadcast, has not appeared in a ball game since the 30th of September, and that was only a three-inning start against the Phillies. Buford's lead not held by Robertson with two out at first base. Blair ducks back, the pitch is in at his chin. One ball, no strikes to Blair. Boog Powell is on deck. And now we've got the top lieutenant of Danny Murtaugh's coaching staff, Bill Verdon, making his first visit to the mound. Again, a reminder now, the Pirates are keeping their bullpen warm here in the top of the ninth with tall left-hander Walker and the top ace of the Pirate bullpen crew, right-hander Dave Justy. Briles at the mound, surrounded by third baseman Pagan, by catcher San Guillen, and coach Bill Verdon. Now, Verdon, I'm sure, is out there for a couple of reasons. Perhaps inquiring of Briles, how strong do you feel? Additionally, maybe urging Briles to just relax and not try to be too fine. Verdon has departed. San Guillen now settles back behind the plate. Briles checking the wigwagging of his catcher, San Guillen. Looks to Buford, the long lead at first base. He gets the strike into Blair. One ball and one strike. Pagan, as he did against Buford and against Belanger to begin the inning, well inside the bag at third. Blair, 1-1. Takes a breaking ball for a strike, and Blair complaining on the outside corner call by plate umpire Jim Odom. So Briles strikes ahead of Blair at one ball and two strikes with two away in the top of the ninth inning after the two-out free ticket to Buford on four pitches. Robertson is extremely wide of the first base foul line and does not hold on Buford's real long lead. Briles on the 1-2, sets, throws. Here's a ground trickler well inside the bag at third. Pagan throws the second. The ball game is over. Pagan gets the fourth play on a toss to catch. Briles on the 1-2. Sex throws. Here's a ground trickler well inside the bag at third. Pagan throws the second. The ball game is over. Pagan gets the fourth play on a toss to Cash on the sliding Buford. Pittsburgh wins game five of the World Series 4-0. And now the World Series goes back to Baltimore for game six on Saturday. The Pirates won three in a row here at Three River Stadium after Baltimore won the first two at Memorial Stadium. And Pittsburgh leads in this World Series 3-2. The final score, Pittsburgh 4, Baltimore nothing. And we'll have some highlights for you right after this message.
As it turned out, the leadoff home run by Bob Robertson in the Pirates' second inning was all that Nellie Briles needed as he pitches a two-hit shutout. San Guillen followed with a single, stole second, and rode home when Nellie Briles himself singled in the second run. Dave McNally, today's loser, who is now 3-2 in World Series play, 1-1 in this World Series,
guilty of walking a man. Brooks Robinson committed an error, and a wild pitch scored the third run. The fourth run came on in the fifth inning when Klein stripled, and Clemente brought him home with a base hit. 4-0, and the Orioles never had more than one man on base in any inning in the ballgame. Never a threat. We'll continue with today's highlights right after this message. Pittsburgh leads 3-2, needs to win only one of the final two. One more win, and they've got the World Championship. Baltimore, on the other hand, has to win two to win the 1971 World title and complete their successful defense. And to do that, the Orioles need some runs. They have now gone 17 innings against Pirate pitching since the first inning last night with no score at all in those 17 innings. And we'll have a final word for you about today's game right after this message. Bryles the winner, McNally the loser, and the Pirates lead 3-2. From Pittsburgh, this is Jim Simpson along with Bill O'Donnell. The fifth game of the World Series has been brought to you by Gillette Foamy, the number one shave cream that makes you an old smoothie. By Chrysler Corporation, extra care and engineering, your host today, your local Dodge dealer. By STP Corporation, makers of world-famous STP oil treatment. The Owens Illinois Forest Products Division, a leading producer of corrugated packaging. By the Retail Clerks International Association, dedicated exclusively to the interests of store workers. And by the National Bowling Council, no matter what your game is, there's another game in town. Bowling, it's for everybody. The final score once again in the fifth game of the World Series, Pittsburgh 4, Baltimore nothing. This has been an NBC Radio Network production.
Baseball.